Let's talk about drawing near to God. And our theme verse, James 4, verse 8, where God says to us, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We've been making the observation that relationship to God is possible because we are personal beings and God is a personal being. And in fact, we were made for a close relationship with Him. And we've been applying this principle that because we're personal beings, God is a personal being, what we can learn about relationships with other human beings, how to strengthen or weaken those relationships, can inform us in strengthening our relationship with God. And we've been applying those principles in most recently in observing that desire is necessary. Both parties must want the relationship for it to work, and that communication is vital in our relationship with other human beings and certainly with God. In our lesson this morning, we're going to be examining two aspects of relationship that are hopefully present even in some of the less connected relationships, if they're healthy. And that doesn't mean they're not part of the deeper relationships. In fact, they're just as important there, but they don't assume or require a deep relationship. They are, however, very important. In our next lesson, we're going to be looking at qualities of relationships that are deeper, and then looking at the qualities of our most unique and deepest personal relationship. But in our time this morning, we're going to look at courtesy and fellowship. What are we talking about? The dictionary defines courtesy as marked by respect for and consideration of others. Respect for and consideration of others. Let's look at four ways of being courteous in our personal relationships. How to show courtesy when we're in the presence of another person. One way is through appreciation and respect. Appreciation and respect. We're familiar with what that looks like, and because we're very sensitive to when we receive appreciation as we should, or respect, or when that is withheld. We certainly should have appreciation and respect for God. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, Moses tells the Israelites, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good." Moses is telling the Israelites to show respect for and appreciation for their heavenly Father. That's important. He deserves nothing better, and anything less than that would be discourteous to Him. So how do we do that? Well, by treating Him and His Son and His family with respect, speaking of God the Father respectfully and appreciatively, being thankful. If we're to show appreciation and respect to God, does He show appreciation and respect to us? Well, He certainly does, more than we deserve. Another aspect of courtesy is giving each other priority. A person who never has time for us versus a person who always appears delighted, even to set aside whatever he was doing to spend time with us. There's a big difference between those attitudes. And when it comes to showing courtesy to God, He truly is the highest priority. And one passage of Scripture that points that out with regard to Jesus Christ is Ephesians 1, verse 19, describing His exalted status. The power which God worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Well, so it's right for us to give God priority. He truly deserves first place. Because of this, we shouldn't play hard to get with God. We should be available for Him, letting Him know how important He is to us. And so we might consider and think seriously about what we might set God aside for. If we set God aside for convenience, for entertainment, for profit, or for other relationships, that shows him disservice and is discourteous to him. Do you think God knows the priority that he has in our hearts? He certainly does. He sees how we manifest that in our lives. And so if we want a closer personal relationship with God, we must put him ahead of other priorities. What about God? Has he made us a priority? Well, he certainly has. John 3, verse 16 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of our hymns expresses it in this way, our God, whose Son upon a tree, a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set man free, and evermore with him could live. And so, what is more important to God than us? If it's convenience? Well, no. God greatly inconvenienced himself for our benefit. He went far, far out of his way for us. Is profit more important to God than us? Well, no, because at our best, we are unprofitable servants. Are other relationships more important to God than us? He actually gave up his Son for us. And the scriptures tell us that he did not give help to angels, but to the children of Abraham. There's really only one explanation for God putting us this high on his priority list. He truly wants to be in close personal relationship with each of us and us with him. And we can praise God and be grateful to him for that. So where is God on my priority list? Another important aspect of courtesy is avoiding offense. Oh, we definitely want to avoid offending God. And how do we avoid offending God? Well, if there's something you know that God doesn't like, well, don't do it. The Bible is full of discussions of things that God doesn't like. Don't do those things. Avoid offending God. And as we think about that, we certainly want to avoid sin, and there's many good reasons to avoid sin. We avoid sin to avoid judgment and the punishment, eternal punishment of sin in hell. We avoid sin to avoid kind of the natural consequences that are the fruit of the sinful actions that we take. And we avoid sin for the reward of eternity with God in heaven, as well as the reward of the natural consequences of doing what is right that bear fruit in our lives. All of those are really good reasons to avoid sin and do what is right. But the reason that gives the most glory to God, I think, for avoiding sin is avoiding sin so that we can draw close to God. In James 4, verse 8, our theme verse says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's avoid sin so we avoid giving offense to God so that our relationship with him can be maintained and grown. You know, as important as it is to avoid giving God offense, it's important for us to not be offended by God. And we might say, well, God is perfect. How could we be offended by God? But actually, it happens. It happens. In fact, it happened to the children of Israel. We can read about in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 13 as an example. The prophet Malachi is recording God's words there in verse 13, saying to the Israelites, your words have been harsh against me. So God is saying to the Israelites, why have you been criticizing me so much? Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Well, the Israelites at this period in their history were offended with God. Why? Because they felt like they were so much more righteous than the wicked people around them, and yet it looked like the wicked people around them were having easy lives of presumably the blessings of God. And so they're saying, why are we working so hard to do what is right if we're not seeing the benefits of it? And so they were offended by God. Another passage along this line is Psalm 73, where the psalmist discusses how tempted he was to be offended by God when he saw wicked people apparently prospering in their wickedness. Is this just a challenge for people in Bible times, or are we sometimes tempted to be offended by God when we see the wicked prospering? I think that's something that we must be on guard about as well. The unfairness of life. We can charge him with our disappointments. And there are, in fact, many people who refuse to draw near to God because they've been offended either by something that God has done or by something that God has not done. And so let's avoid offending God. Let's avoid being offended by God. Another element of courtesy is acts of simple kindness. God is very good at this. God sends sun and rain on the just and the unjust, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. And he urges us to act in the same way, even toward our enemies. In Matthew 5, verse 44 and 45, Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God's kindness is demonstrated over and over again. In fact, one of the children's songs that we used to sing sometimes said, he keeps blessing and blessing me over and over and over and over again. Well, God certainly shows his kindness to us. How can we be kind to God? Well, if there's something you know that God likes, do it. It's not hard to find examples and suggestions of this in Scripture. One way that that we show kindness to God is actually by serving others. Jesus says this in Matthew 25, verse 37. The righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to who? You did it to me. How, you know, we're so grateful for all that God has done for us, and we could wish to maybe even live back in the times when Jesus was here on earth so that we could show our appreciation, maybe like the sinful woman did by weeping at his feet for our sense of penitence of our sins, or honoring him like Mary did in anointing him with fragrant oil. Well, we don't have the opportunity to do that because Jesus isn't physically here. But what does Jesus say about serving others? When we do those simple acts of service for the least of those around us who need it, it is though we do it for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there certainly is an opportunity for us to show kindness to our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, these acts of kindness are kind of the reverse of avoiding offense. We're doing what God wants in kindness towards him, just like we avoid sin to avoid giving offense. So to summarize what we've observed here about the elements of courtesy, it involves giving appreciation and respect to another person, giving each other priority, avoiding offense, and acts of simple kindness. These are all a part of showing courtesy to others and part of a relationship with God as well. Another element of relationship that we want to focus on with the rest of our time is fellowship. And that's defined as companionship or company, community of interest, activity, feeling, or experience. And we actually, if you remember our depth chart of relationships and how deep they are, we actually named one of the categories of relationship fellowship, because so many relationships fall into this category of people sharing together what they have in common. Maybe you're part of a scouting group, or you're a group of sports fans of a particular team, or maybe you join a local neighborhood association. If you lived in Roanoke, where I do, you could join the RVIPMS. Guess what that is? Well, that's the Roanoke Valley International Plastic Modelers Society. And so if you're into building plastic models, you could go to their meetings and go to their events and compare your models and get tips and tricks for how to paint them and how to put them together. I actually looked to see if there's one in this area and found out that Omaha is actually the headquarters of the International Plastic Modelers Society. So if you have any interest in that, that's an opportunity. But that's just an illustration. How there's a myriad of interests that human beings have, and they'd like to gather together to pursue whatever that shared interest that they have. That's a key part of our relationship with other human beings, and it certainly is with God as well. Fellowship with God is a very important concept in Scripture. In 1 John 1, verse 6, we read, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Let's look at four ways we can focus on what we share in common with God, resulting in closer relationship with him. The first is sharing common interests. When we are trying to get to know somebody, we make an effort in doing things with them. If they like fishing, maybe we'll go fishing. It's awesome if they like fishing and we like fishing too, because that's something that we can share in common. Maybe they like watching sports. If you do, that's an opportunity to spend time with them. Maybe they like plastic modeling. And if that's the case and you do as well, you can maybe participate with that. And of course, it's a lot easier if that is a common and shared interest. With that in mind, then, think about this question. What does God like that you like too? I would encourage you to spend as much of your time doing that as you can. Examine your interests, your talents, your relationships, and other resources and opportunities. And figure out what you love to do that makes God happy. And do a lot of that. There's many things that, as Christians, are the same. In other words, the moral expectations of what is right and wrong are the same for all human beings. That doesn't change from person to person. But there are many ways that God has made us unique with our special gifts, talents, and interests and experiences. God is interested in blessing us and in us sharing our blessings with others. And so if we share that interest with God, we can do a lot of bonding with our Heavenly Father by sharing in that and sharing those blessings that God has given us with others. I think that's part of what's being, indicated here in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, where Peter tells us, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, there's many gifts that we have shared in common that are the same, but there are many individualized gifts that we have received. God did not give us our gifts just for us to enjoy them all by ourselves. He gave us that gift to be a blessing not only to ourselves, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we are to apply our gifts in serving others. Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And so we can increase fellowship with God by sharing common interests with him and by sharing common experiences. Many of our common experiences with God are part of a shared past. You and God have a history together. It's good for us to reflect on our spiritual history, where we came from compared to where we are now, so that we can appreciate and be thankful for what God has done for us in the past. That shared past is really important for really all of our relationships. And I'll use my wife and I as an example. For our 24th wedding anniversary, I treated Rachel to a no-expense-spared extended stay vacation away from home and away from all her regular responsibilities. Now, that is not what I planned to do for her anniversary, but it's what resulted when Rachel had a ruptured appendix. And so on the plus side, we got to spend a lot of one-on-one time in the hospital waiting for the next thing to happen. And one of the ways that we passed the time was by looking over old pictures and reminiscing about the crazy life that we have shared so far together. And it seems like, I don't know, the craziness hasn't receded much, even in recent years. But that was while we had the twins. So the twins were down in Charlotte with Rachel's parents while she was, getting treated for her appendix. Exciting times. But reminiscing on the past is important. You and God have had many adventures as well together. Don't forget what God has done for you. And spend time reminiscing over your shared history together. That's a good thing to do as we commune with God in prayer. The psalmist has this to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Another part of our shared experiences that we should focus on in building a relationship with God is our shared present. Are you doing something right now? Yes, you are. I guarantee you. It's possible for us to consciously have God in our thoughts as we're acting. Whether we're fishing, is it possible to fish in communion with God? Yes, it is. If we're watching sports, is it possible to watch sports in communion with God? Yes, it is. Is it possible to put together plastic models in communion with God? Yes, it is. In fact, we're doing our best. When we're doing our best for Him, we are making a common experience uncommon by sharing it with Him. And we have a shared past with God. We have a shared present with God. And we have a shared future with God. Are you planning to be in heaven with God for all eternity? That's something that we can anticipate together with our Heavenly Father. That's really what hope is all about. Before Rachel and I were married, we'd often dream about what our future lives together would be like. And we continue to make plans and anticipate the good things that we're hoping to do or experience in the future. This is another good thing to do in prayer that will draw us closer to God. What He has revealed, we have a lot of questions that we don't know about what heaven is going to be like. But what we have revealed is things for us to anticipate, and we can do that with our Heavenly Father as we remember those things. Another important aspect of fellowship is working towards common goals. God has purposes and goals that He wants to be accomplished in this world and in our lives. And if we're helping God with His goals, that is something that we share in common. And we have our own goals that we have for our future of what we're hoping to do or planning to do. And we want to include God in those plans and goals. And it's good for us to have as many goals in common with our Heavenly Father as possible. Another aspect of fellowship is spending time together. A friendship and closer relationship is not something magical that either happens or doesn't. It's when you spend time with another person that you end up getting to know them and depending on them, and before long your friends. Then in mind, how much time do we spend with God? And does this reflect the desire we have to get to know Him better and to have a personal relationship closer with Him? Well, we've looked at courtesy and fellowship and seen how they are gateways to closer relationship to God. If they're absent, the deeper levels of relationship are prevented or hindered. Courtesy and fellowship are not optional things or unimportant things that maybe we can give up once we get to deeper levels of relationship or have a closer connection with God. It's easy for us sometimes to make that mistake in our family. They're our child. They're my wife. They're our close friend. Of course they know that I care and respect for them. I shouldn't have to be careful about how I treat them or be careful about making sure I spend enough time in fellowship with them? Well, I think, yes, you do. These elements of relationship continue to be important no matter how close we get to another person. In the same way, the shared experiences and common interests that we have with God and the courtesy that we have toward Him are the basis of our growing levels of trust and dependence on Him. Let's bow and have a word of prayer before we close the lesson. Holy and righteous Father, we honor and fear You and are so grateful for Your abundant mercy and goodness towards us. Thank You for this opportunity, Lord, that we've had to reflect on what it means to be in fellowship with You and the ways that we can be more conscious of the things that we have and share with You in common, that as we ponder on and think about and focus on, help us draw closer to You. And Lord, You have shown us so much more courtesy and kindness and goodness and priority than we could possibly deserve. And help us reciprocate by truly making You the priority in our lives, avoiding what we know is offensive to You, and seeking to do what we know pleases You, as we, with our whole hearts, seek to draw into closer relationship with You. Thank You for hearing us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to close by reminding us of one of Jesus' parables called the Parable of the Great Supper. And in this parable, a polite invitation was made, a courteous invitation, in Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus says, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it, so I ask you to have me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' And he said, Still another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. The master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, 'Go quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it's done as you commanded, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Like this parable, God is sending a polite invitation really to everyone to draw closer to Him and to come to the spiritual feast of adoption into His family and eternal fellowship with Him in heaven. And God does not force anybody to come. And if we, say the first time we're invited or at some point in our life, "Yeah, I'll come, I'll join." And then later on we say, "Well, there's some other things that I'm more interested in doing than being a part of that gathering." God's not going to, He's not going to drag us and force us to come. But it cannot fail to disappoint and offend that such a generous and a loving invitation is refused. In the same way in our lives, if we refuse and make excuses over and over again, God will get the hint. As He said of these individuals, "None of those who are invited shall taste my supper." And so the spiritual reality is that God is inviting us to come and dine with Him and be relationship with Him. And so my admonition to each of us is, don't let anything keep you from responding to that invitation. If you have any spiritual needs, now is the time to let us know so that we can help you and get God's help for you. And so let us know that as we stand and sing this song.